Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Just a few minutes. Share a burden from God's Word with you tonight. And we'll be finished. Hope your hearts have been stirred by the music. It's our desire that not only would you enjoy the music, but that you would be stirred and your hearts would be changed and drawn closer to the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, a very familiar passage of Scripture we'll look at in just a moment. On Monday, we had the privilege of stopping in Charleston Harbor and going to the USS Yorktown aircraft carrier. I'm a huge World War II buff. How many of you in here love World War II? Raise your hand. Great. I have books. I have so many books at home in my own library that I've gotten about World War II. I think it's fascinating. I could literally just stay in that part of history, and you could learn so many things and so many facets of the war and so many things that we do now because of that. But it was so incredible. I've never been on the aircraft carrier before, and so getting on the USS Yorktown was awesome. And just to get on that top of that deck and see how big it is, and then to go down below and just you keep going and going and going and going. One thing I was thinking is that thing sank. Get stuck in the middle, but up on top of the deck and seeing how big it was and how big those airplanes are, but how much room there was still to walk around. It's just phenomenal. It's huge. But there's a story from World War II. An aircraft carrier was out in the North Atlantic. It was engaged in war, and six pilots were sent out to scout some enemy submarines. While they were out, the captain issued an alarm, and all the lights were extinguished on the ship. No lights were on. Eventually, the pilots started coming back from their mission. And as they came back towards the mothership, they realized that she was down there somewhere, but they couldn't find her. They couldn't see her. So they radioed the ship and said, "Give us light. We're coming home." The radio operator on the ship radioed back, "Order, blackout. I cannot give you light." Another pilot picked up his radio and said, "Just give us some light and we'll make it." The radio operator said, "No light, blackout." The third pilot picked up his light or his radio and said, "Give us just one light and we'll land." The operator could do no more. He reached over, turned the switch, and broke radio contact. Six red-blooded aviators, pilots in the prime of manhood, went down in the North Atlantic Ocean and out into eternity. All they needed was one light. Ladies and gentlemen, let me submit to you tonight that we are kind of like that aircraft carrier. We've extinguished our lights. We're going to look at a passage here in Matthew chapter 5 about shining our lights in this world. We stand here in the sea of humanity. Of humanity that is going, 7 billion souls going towards a Christless eternity. And we watch after soul drops off the precipice into hell. And we do nothing about it. God has done a work in my heart about this matter of shining my light for Him. Just recently, really, God's done a deep work. And so I don't stand here at all from some perfect standpoint in this. God's working and dealing in my heart, and every time I preach, God does something else. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. It says there, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time to preach. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to bring your word. Lord, I do ask that you would do a work in each one of the hearts here. Lord, I pray you would take your Holy Spirit's power and, Lord, convict each heart. Lord, I pray that I would only speak those words that you want me to speak. Well, thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three things I want to see tonight about this matter of shining our light for Christ. Number one, the problem with our light. The problem with our light. You say, Brother Daniel, what in the world are you talking about? You're talking about light, but now suddenly you're starting talking about a problem with our light. Well, you know, let me say it bluntly. If we had no problem with our light, we would all in this room be regularly seeing souls saved and brought into this church. Souls added to this church, baptized, and on their way to fruitfulness in their Christian life. Now, it's exciting to see a crowd like this out on a Wednesday night. It's exciting to see that. Now, I'm sure that there are multitudes in this church that God is using to see this community reached. Let me ask, you something. Are you tonight being used by God to see this community reached? Let me ask you a question. Do you believe God can reach Jupiter, Florida? Let me ask you that again. I heard your pastor. I heard a couple other. Let me just ask. Make sure you heard what I said. Do you believe God can reach Jupiter, Florida? Do you believe that God can reach the greater Miami area down south of you? There's a lot of people down there. It's a massive area. Looking on the map, they have those, you know, little boxes around the area they zoom in. That's one of the bigger boxes that they zoom in on on the road atlases. It's just a phenomenal area of just people, just a lot of people. I'm telling you, you're put in a strategic location. Everywhere God has put you somewhere where those people need a light. But I'm telling you, there's a problem. You know what that problem is? It's called sin. It's called self. You know, tonight, if the lights all turned off in this building, there's no windows to the outside that I can see. So if the lights went out in this building, we'd be in trouble. Okay, it'd be dark. It'd be real dark. And maybe some of you have, you know, night vision. You can see. Maybe some of you, you know, can feel your way around the auditorium. But with these handbell tables here and with all these stands on the stage and other thing going on, we'd have some serious issues if we tried to leave the building. If we tried to do something, right, wouldn't we? Okay? It'd be dark. So what would we do? Whoever's the maintenance guy here or the pastor or some of the guys would try to go find the problem. If the lights are out, you don't just sit around and say, okay, let's just keep going with what we're doing. We go find the problem. You go locate, okay, is there a breaker that popped? Is there a fuse that blew? Is there a location outside the church that something's going on? Call the area electric company and say, hey, did something, a tree fall on something? Is there a storm? Is it an area wide, 20, 30,000 homes? Is something going on? You would go locate, pinpoint the problem, fix it, so the lights can turn back on. Because you don't just operate in the dark. Maybe some of you do to conserve energy, I don't know. But I like to have a little light when I'm working around, when I'm walking around doing things in my life. And so lights are turned on, they're very helpful. Unfortunately, in our Christian life, our lights are extinguished. There's a problem in our life. There's sin. Verse number 15 talks about the foolishness. He says, neither do men light a candle and then put it under a bushel. That's what we're doing, though. You know, tonight, if there is sin in our lives, we have the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about it, folks. The light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, you have that glorious light in your life and the opportunity to shine for Christ. But if there's sin in your life, if there's sin in my life, you put a bushel over it. And you know how foolish that is? I mean, how foolish would it be to turn on all these lights and then, you know, Pastor Blaylock says, oh, let's just go cover them over, you know, with black tarp. I think it'll look good in the auditorium. They're on, but let's just cover them over. It'd be foolish, wouldn't it? Because lights are to do what? To light up dark places. Unfortunately, though, in our lives, we have that sin. We have the light, but we have sin that covers over the light. And we go out into the world. We go out to see, you know, we're out in the workplace. We're out shopping. We're out, you know, seeing the beautiful sights of Florida here. And we're around those people. We walk right past them. And they walk right past us. No exchange. No recognition of something different. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let me ask you a question. If I was to go to your workplace or your school, would I know that you were a Christian there if I didn't know you now? You know, people want to see something different. They really do. You know, if you look like, act like, talk like the world, why would they want to have what you have if it's no different from what they have? If you have light, they want that. But if you walk out there, you dress like they do, you talk like they do, you act like they do, you do the same things they do, why would they want that? I'm telling you what, we're called to be children of light for the Lord tonight. But you know, there's so many times in our lives that sin gets in. In this day and age, the generation in which I live, there is so much access to technology, even on our own bus out there. We have wired down both sides. You can plug in your computers all the way down. We've got, you know, computers, the kids are working on schoolwork, the iPods, iPads, you name it. You know, technology. Back in my day in high school and college, you didn't have that much technology. But every year it gets more and more and more. I asked the Christian school yesterday, how many of you have a smartphone? Almost 3/4 of the school raised their hand. Christian school. It's amazing to me, because in high school, I didn't even have a cell phone. Nobody had a cell phone. Maybe 2 or 3 here in high school. You just didn't have that. But now everybody's access, and not just a cell phone, but now it's access to the internet. And you have, everybody has their Facebook and Twitter account. You know, I have to tell everybody, you know, I walked into church. I'm sitting on row 3, just so you know. You know, you're 2 rows behind me, but just checking. I'm right here, you know. And you know, you got, you know, you have 3, 4, 5,000 friends. You know, you don't even know half of them, but you got your friends, you got connected, and the world's right there. And you got everything right there, and you're so entwined with the world, but you covered your light over. You're so entwined with the things of the world, but you're not shining your light for Christ. There's sin in your life. Maybe there's bitterness, like Lisa talked about. Maybe there's someone in this church building you have not talked to in years, and you will not. Refuse to. I'm a pastor's son. And I know what it's like to see families ripped apart by bitterness. I know what it's like to see those families and those homes ripped apart, and then that bitterness spread and hurt other members of the church. I'm telling you what, tonight, get that bitterness rooted out. Get those people out of those debtors' prisons. Maybe tonight you're talking like Caleb. Maybe you're doing things behind your parents' back, teenager. Maybe adult, you're doing things that if this pastor knew, if this church knew, you would be ashamed. And God knows. There's sin in your life. There's things you're looking at. There's things you're doing. You know what? Whatever it is, if your light's not shining, something's wrong. Something's the problem. Something's the matter with it. But you know what? There's a problem with our light, but there's also power for our light. If we get that problem fixed, then there's power that comes. There's power that is there. Let me tell you something exciting tonight. There is a person who lives inside of you. His name is Jesus Christ. His power is there. You know how foolish it'd be if our group, you know, we leave this place and we say, we're going to vacuum the auditorium. So I give the vacuum cleaner to one of our freshmen, you know, or one of our sophomores, and they get it, and they just start vacuuming. You know, start going. They start pushing the dirt around. You know, and you don't hear anything. You're thinking, hey, buddy, there's a little thing on the back called a cord. It's a little ignition or a little plug-in thing, a little outlet. You stick it right there and a little power. Boom. And all of a sudden, instead of pushing dirt around, you start to suck it up and do some work. You know, I think so many times we have people in our churches that, bless God, for 20 years I've been going out soul winning. How many souls have you seen? Say, well, not many, hardly any, maybe none, but I've been going out soul winning, knocking on doors, checking off my list. I wouldn't want to do that for 20 years. There's a power behind that. You go out sowing it, you can see souls saved. You can see lives changed. You can see God work in a mighty way. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the power behind our light. And when he shines, then people come to that light. I'm telling you what, it's exciting. I mean, imagine us walking out to the parking lot tonight, and somebody of you, you know, one of you is going to go home, and you get behind your car, you start pushing. You start pushing. We all come over there and say, hey, buddy, what you doing? I'm going home. Something wrong with your car? No. I'm just pushing my car. Why are you pushing? I'm work hard tonight. I feel like I got to get home. Did you have a heat stroke today? Or are you out in the sun too long? You would think this guy's a little, you know, whacked in his brain. Why? Because all it takes is a little piece of metal called a key. Stick it in the ignition, turn it, and we got power. You have power. You push the gas pedal down. Boom. You're getting on the road, going home. And I'm telling you what, tonight, to access that power, step out by faith and say, God, I want that power in my life. I don't want to be that fruitless ministry. I don't want to have 20, 30 years of nothing. I'm telling you what, that's where God brought me to. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was sick and tired of going to places, of walking past people, not giving out tracts, not giving out the gospel. And God did a work in my heart, and I wouldn't even go into it at all but tonight. But God has done a work in my heart, and hopefully will continue to do a work in my heart, of seeing that person across from me at the gas station as a soul dying go to hell. And sometimes, if you know me, I am a shy person when I'm around strangers and outside of like an ensemble type thing or a traveling thing or pastors. I'm in my element there, but when I'm out there, I'm quiet. I like to just be in my own little world, put my headphones in and do my thing, travel on an airplane or whatever it is. Well, God did a work in my heart and started to show me that those people, doesn't matter if I'm shy, doesn't matter if I'm whatever, they're dying and going to hell. And he gave me the strength, his strength, and his power, to see God, see a mighty work several times, multiple times, many times over these last couple of weeks. And lastly, we're done. The purpose for our light. What's the purpose? Let's look at the passage here, please. Verse 14. It says, ye are the light of the world. Do you realize the enormity of that statement? You are the light of the world. Verse number 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. That's a command. It's a command. Our purpose tonight, Our purpose tonight is not to go work your job and earn your money. Our purpose tonight is not to do this or that. And it might be where God has called you. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because God has put us in all different places. I'm telling you this, your purpose overall for your life is to be a witness and a light for Jesus Christ. If God has put you in a workplace, you shine for him there. If God has put you in a public school, young person, you shine for God there. If God has put you in a neighborhood full of lost people, then you shine for God there. Wherever God puts you, you are commanded to let your light so shine before men so when they see that, they see God and they glorify God. They say, we want that. We are the light of the world. We've been put here, earthen vessels, weak vessels. God wants to use us. There was a young girl who once consulted her preacher. She said, I can't stick it out any longer. I'm the only Christian in the factory where I work. I'm nothing but taunts and sneers. It's more than I can stand. I'm going to quit. Will you tell me, asked the preacher, where lights are placed? What does that to do with it, asked the young Christian girl. Never mind, asked the minute the preacher said. Answer my question. Where are lights placed? Well, I suppose in dark places, she said. Yes, and that is why you've been placed in that factory where there is such spiritual darkness and where there is no other Christian to shine for the Lord. The young girl realized for the first time the opportunity that was hers. She felt she could not fail God by letting him down and resigning from the factory. She went back.